Welcome back to a little two-part video series about how to create a dolly zoom in DAS Studio. That's the vertical shot, also known as the Hitchcock shot or the Jaws shot, the Hunter Thompson shot, in which your perspective seemingly changes while the character stays in the same place. And we're going to create that in DAS Studio. In our previous video, I've set up the scene using Stonemason's downtown loft living area, and we've set up the camera so far. Now we're going to deal with lighting and how to render out the animation. So lighting, I think I'm going to use one of my own products, which is Soul Reflections Volume 1 product, to bring in a light from the front so that we can see a bit of an eye reflection in the character's eyes. And I'm going to tweak a couple of overhead lamps that are in the scene already to make sure we get a bit of illumination on top of the IBL that is already in the scene. So let's see how we can do that. So IBL, we can find that under the render settings, under environment, and it's usually set to 2. That's kind of the default value. And I think maybe I'm going to go and turn that down, not completely off, but I'm going to turn that to 1 to begin with. So that means we have a little bit of IBL, but we don't have a great deal of it. On top of that, there's another parameter that we need to adjust. In fact, a good idea is always to go to the first frame of the animation and make any adjustments there. So let's do that. Then select the camera. And with that selected on the parameters tab, let's go to the headlamp and switch that off, because the headlamp is otherwise going to go and destroy our lighting effect there. This results in a completely black picture because currently we don't have anything else in the scene to create a light. But in order to see something here, we can simply go back to the perspective view, and that will still have illumination in there. So we can see that the camera is kind of, in the first shot, is very close to the character, and then it moves away from the character. So to illuminate the character constantly, let's bring in my Soul Reflections product. So that's on the Content Library tab here, and I have it installed in a separate runtime directory here under Lighting Presets or Light Presets. Soul Reflections, we have the close, medium, and wide cameras here. I think I'm going to go with the medium one, and perhaps I'm going to go with this star, with the boom flash, as I call it. So let's bring that in. That is, of course, now in a position where we don't really want it. So with the boom flash camera selected, let's go and move that. There's this little white triangle here, just about make that out. If I move it this way, then it'll stay on the same height and kind of move to behind our camera right now. So in order to turn it around, I'll just go and make sure I'll grab the green handle here, and then I'm going to go and try my very best to point it at the character from the side. So once again, this little white triangle, we'll just move it something like that. And I don't know if the intensity is going to be all right just yet or not, but I'm going to put that here for now. Perhaps I'm going to turn it around a little bit further, like so. And with my other camera selected again, let's move the camera further away, and we'll just see if my boom flash is in shot. That's one of those things, it sometimes may just come into shot. It's also a nice way to see what the camera actually does here. So it looks like it's not in shot, so I don't have to worry about that for now. But we probably have to do something about the intensity of that. Also means I can move it slightly further to the camera, to the character, towards the character. Let's see if we change to our camera one. Is it in shot? I don't think it is. That's nice to see. If it was, we would totally see it on the left-hand side there creeping in, but I guess we don't. What I can just about make out is that the ceiling is currently not showing, and that's just fine. We're going to go and have a look at the top view now, which is also illuminated. And let's see what Stonemason has provided here in regards to lighting. So this is my character here. This is my camera at the top of the screen here. So behind that is the whole room that we need to fill out. And we have two objects here that I can see. There may be even a third one here. So this is the first one. If I right click, that's the New York hanging lamp number 4. Let's select that and head over to the Surfaces tab. Under Editor, we can see that the hanging lamp is made up of four surfaces in total. And one of them is the bulb plastic. What's the bulb glass thin? I guess, it's just a guess here, that this is probably the light bulb, the glass part of the bulb. And to get a really accurate result here, I'm going to select that whole surface and I'm going to go, it's right now in the emissions tab, we don't have anything, but if we select that whole surface here, then we can go over to presets, shaders, iRay, emissives, and double click the emissives shader. And as soon as we do that in the emissions channel, we now have something to play with. So that has kind of changed his object into a proper light source, which is kind of interesting. And that gives us a very accurate result, as if the light is really being emitted from that lamp. So let's change the lumens units to watts, and perhaps crank up the watts to something like 75 watts, maybe even 100 watts. Let's just say 100 watts. We're going to do the same thing with this object here. That is also a lamp. So right click on that, and this is the New York Hanging Lamp 5. And again, we do exactly the same thing. We've got the glass here. Head over to presets under emissives. Just double click that. And now we have an emissive channel that we can treat in the same way. So select watts here and turn that into a 100 watt light emissive thing as well. There's also something else. There's this thing here. I don't actually know what that is. That's the smoke detector. Okay, so we can't actually turn that into an emissive surface, otherwise that's going to look just weird. But if we had anything else, we could also switch that on, literally. I don't know. This could be something. It's pottery, so let's also not switch that on. But maybe there's something on the table. This is a coffee table. Now, it's always good to examine these items if you have a different scene and you find anything that's lights, like street lights or like a floodlight that's kind of standing and illuminating the ceiling, like a ceiling flood. Select all those, examine the surfaces, and if there is anything that in real life would in fact be a lamp, would be a light emissive surface, then go ahead and switch that on and turn that into an emissive surface. That'll give you really accurate results in your scene. Very exciting effects there. So we'll see what this looks like by changing back to our camera one, and we're on the first frame, so that's cool. Let's see what this looks like if I go and just switch that over to iRay. Okay, so I can see that there's a couple of things that we need to do. I'm quite happy with the way the light looks already, so there's not a lot that needs to be adjusted here. Of course, there's a lot of stuff we can experiment with, but I think that looks kind of okay just to showcase the effect. What I can see, of course, is that I've switched off the ceiling, so there's a big gray hole here in the ceiling. I can also see that there may be an issue with transparency that we can see outside the window. So because I'm angling the camera up, I may see the sky, and currently I'm not drawing the sky, so by default there's nothing there. Let's fix these two things. I'm happy with the eye reflections as well. That's kind of funky. I like that. So let me just select the ceiling, and I've invisibilized that earlier so that I can look into the whole apartment. So I'm going to bring that back. That's the ceiling taken care of. And while it's all thinking about it, on the render settings tab, there you go, that's the ceiling back. I'm going to go and on the environment tab, I'm just going to switch on the draw dome option. And what that'll do is you can probably see it on the outside there in the render. Yeah, there we go. We can now see that the sky from the IBL is being drawn. So the environment map is now being drawn rather than that being a piece of invisibility on the outside. And that's kind of nice there. Okay, so there's one other thing I think we should do just to make that look really professional. Right now, if we just go and collapse the whole apartment down with our camera selected on the parameters tab, we can see that under camera, we're currently not using the depth of field option. So right now, everything that we draw is in 100% in focus. And that isn't going to look as realistic as if we introduce a little bit of depth of field there. And we can do that. Make sure once again in the animation you're on the first frame of the animation with the camera selected. Make sure depth of field is being switched on. And the default value that they give us here is an f-stop of 22. So that will be rendered, but we don't exactly know where the focal distance is. So that's something that we need to check and also animate. So right now I can already see that the focal distance is kind of somewhere in the background and our character is not drawn in focus. That's not where we want the focal distance to be. The good thing is Dash Studio has this little guidelines that we can adjust. So first of all, let me switch that back to the texture shaded view and go into the top view. And then I'll show you what I mean. See, there's our ceiling again. Let me select that ceiling and invisibilize it again so that we can see what our camera sees there. Let's find our character and the camera, which is here. So I'll select my camera and we can see that this plane here, that is the focal distance. So it's currently set to some random value, 252.54. So if I move that, then I can see that it is changing. And really the focal distance is dependent on the f-stop. So you see these two white lines here. Anything in between where this white blob is, that is anything that's been drawn in focus. As a guide, you know, it doesn't always happen that way, but look what happens if I increase the focal depth, then the distance between these two white lines increases, and that means more is rendered in focus, whereas when I decrease it, then less of that is being rendered in focus. So I think 22 is a good starting point. I think I'm going to leave that there. But of course, we need to adjust the exact focal distance to include our character. And that's on the first frame of vision. So I'm going to put that where her face is. I may even actually increase that by increasing the focal distance a little bit. Let's just use 50 as a starting point. Because the thing is, it's optics and dimensions and translations and all that. So it all comes together. The moment we animate the timeline, you can see that first of all, my f-stop is going smaller again, but that's because on the last frame of our animation, it's set to 22 because that's what I haven't quite adjusted yet. So there we go, it's going to 22. But the other thing, the other more important thing is that the focal distance is actually going back into the back of our scene, and that's also not where I want it. So on the last frame of my animation, let's make sure that the focal distance is also going back to my character. And you can see that the other thing that's happening is the further the camera is away from the subject and the more I am zoomed in, the shallower the depth of field is. So if I wanted to create the same kind of effect that I had before, then I'm gonna have to crank up the f-stop a little bit to create the same effect. Otherwise, my depth of field is gonna look very different. So I'm gonna go and attempt to make that happen. This would be really difficult if this was an actual physical shot with a physical camera, but because we're in 3D, it's kind of all very easy for us to just play with a few sliders and see what happens, really. Now this is a bit of a test, and this is a bit of a trial and error thing. Let me see if my theories are correct here by going to the last frame and let's scroll through the animation. So 120 should now go back and these values should change. Yes, they are, that's perfect. Okay, so let's see what the first frame looks like. Well, we've seen the first frame with the iRay preview there a moment ago. I can also go back and make that ceiling reappear, of course. And we need to check the first frame and the last frame. So this is the first frame. Let's see what it looks like. That's cool. Through all the grain, I can see that the character is probably going to be rendered in focus. That's what we want. And the background here is going to be rendered slightly out of focus, exactly what we want. But what happens when we go to the last frame of our animation? See what it looks like then. Yes, that is exactly what I was after. Perfect. So my theory has worked out and it looks okay. The character is still in focus. The back is slightly out of focus, but again, only slightly. Had I left it at the previous aperture value of f, was it 22, I believe, then this would be extremely out of focus now. So that's not exactly what I would have wanted. So I do want to see a little bit of the background without it being completely blurred. So that was my intention. Perfect. Let's see what this looks like if we go for a final render. So what we need to do there is we can leave this on or off. I think I'm going to switch this off and go back to texture shaded here. First of all, I'm going to go and save my scene. And then we're going to park my playhead on the first frame of vision, on frame zero, if you will. There's also something I can adjust here in the bottom right corner. That's the FPS, that's the frame rate, frames per second. I think 30 frames per second is kind of nice. This is what I'd like to render. Under render settings, this is where I can now render that. So there's two considerations I want to make. There's the frame size, and of course, there's the time it takes to render a complete frame. So if we go under progressive mode, I've set my max samples to 128. And that means one frame in my current resolution, which is, what is it, 1920 by 1080, is probably going to take about 8 to 10 minutes to render with my GPU, which is a GTX 980. 980, 970, by the way. So that's how long it'll take. That probably means this is going to take longer than I would like. But if we go back to progressive mode, then 128 samples isn't a lot. So if I crank this up to 512, I think I'm going to make that the maximum samples for that, because otherwise it's going to take, if I go back to the default, which is about 5000, this means each frame is going to render about an hour, and that's just not something I want. So I think I'm going to go for 512 and just live with a bit of grain there. I may also decrease the actual resolution here, so 1920 by 1080, perhaps I'm going to live with 1280 by 720, and then we'll see how long that takes. Now, to render an animation, we have two options. We can either render still images, like an image series, or we can render a movie. That's under render type. Usually that's set to current frame. That means wherever you park your playhead, if you could actually see something, then only that single frame would be rendered. But if we go to any of the other two options, image series or movie, then we're being asked what frames would you like to render. So the default is always start frame is 0, and then the end frame in our case is 180. That's the duration of our animation, so 6 seconds. And the difference between an image series and a movie is that an image series is what it suggests. It's either a series of JPEGs, PNGs, TIFFs, or whatever, all numbered in sequence, and you can look at them individually or assemble them into a full video that you can post-produce. Or movie means it's actually a movie file. So I'm on a Windows system, so I only have the AVI option here, but on a Mac, I would have the option to render this as a QuickTime file as well. The difference is that a movie file is usually compressed, whereas an image file, an image sequence, is not. So if you intend to do anything to these images, so for example, superimpose a background before or behind the character, or do anything else, color correction, I strongly, strongly recommend you do not render this to a movie. You render this to an image series, and then let an image editor like Premiere or iMovie or Photoshop take care of the rest. So if you do render to a movie file, then the issue is that not every frame is going to be an iframe. So this is a little bit complex to explain, but an iframe is a full frame, and everything from one iframe to the next iframe are so-called in-between frames, like tweeners or p-frames, and they don't really save the full image. They just save the changes that happen from one image to another. And on very highly compressed MPEG footage, you sometimes see things popping into clarity every second. That's because the MPEG 4 that we're dealing with these days has what's known as a long gob structure, which means the iframes are very much spread out every kind of 25 to 50 frames. And that means that even though your computer renders in a really good resolution, it's not ideal for post-production. If you don't have to, use an image series. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So I'm going to go and pick a path for this. So that can either be the render library, which for an image series is also not recommended. So use that folder icon here, and then choose a directory. I'm going to go and put this into Dropbox so I can pick it up on another computer later. And perhaps I'm going to create a new folder in here. I'm going to call it Dolly Zoom Animation. And in that folder, once we've given that folder, we can call it something like the series base name. So we can call it, I'm just going to call it Dolly Zoom. And Dash Studio will now amend a number at the end of each frame. On the right-hand side here, I can select what I'd like to save this as. Again, JPEG has a compression applied. If you're going into post-production with your image series, then I highly recommend not using JPEG. TIFF and PNG and bitmap are uncompressed. PNG saves transparency. TIFF can do that as well, but PNG portable network graphic is probably the one I'd recommend. So go for that and hit render. And then Dash Studio will go ahead and render the whole thing out, which will take a while. So I'm going to leave my computer on overnight and see what the results are in the morning. And here's the final render with a little bit of dramatic effect music underneath it, all 6 seconds of it. Let's watch that again because it was just very, very exciting to see. I hope this is going to give you a little bit of an insight into what the Dolly Zoom is and how it can be used in Dash Studio. If you have any questions of how to do this or how to do other things in Dash Studio, then please let me know below in the comments. Thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate that. And of course, if you like this video, then please share it with friends, family, and total strangers. I will see you in my next video. Take care. Bye-bye.